Are you a reluctant traveler? My guest on this episode of Brio TV, the podcast, would generally prefer to stay home, but Apple TV Plus keeps chasing him out of the house. Get ready to say, "How are ya?" to a Canadian comedy legend. Hey, hi, everybody. Thanks for joining me. I'm your host, Bill Brio. And yes, one of my comedy heroes is my guest this week. When the folks at Apple TV Plus asked if I'd like a one-on-one interview with Eugene Levy, I said yes before you could say Schitt's Creek and quickly pitched it to the folks at the Canadian Press. Levy, beloved in Canada for decades as part of the Second City stage and SCTV casts, had just been inducted into the Canadian Comedy Hall of Fame when I caught up to him in February in Pasadena. I also participated in a press conference with Levy a day earlier while attending the winter edition of the Television Critics Association's semi-annual press tour. What I didn't know at the time and what came to light recently is that Levy will be a recurring character on the fourth season of Only Murders in the Building. Can that series get any better? Eugene Levy is joining Only Murders in the Building. There he'll be joined by a friend and fellow SCTV castmate Martin Short and another SCTV alum, Andrea Martin, who was a recurring character on season three. Of course, Steve Martin and Selena Gomez are also the stars of the show, which usually returns around the end of August, early September. What you're about to hear then is my chat with Levy, followed by a short excerpt after the break from the general TCA session. I've spoken with the 76-year-old in the past. He's a quiet gentleman by nature, happier to talk about his son Daniel Levy or anybody else, really. But make no mistake, Eugene Levy is a comedy master. He's a wonderful on the second season of The Reluctant Traveler, especially as we discuss in the episode where he goes for the first time to the homeland of his late mother, Scotland. You know, my mother was born there as well, so it was a lot of fun talking to him about that. So please enjoy this double scotch or double half scotch edition of Brio TV, the podcast. Hi, my name is Bill Brio. I'm with the Canadian Press.
How are you, Bill?
Great, Eugene. Great to see you again.
Good to see you again.
Or should I say Mr. McLevy?
Oh, well, I've been there.
Eugene, you and I have something in common. My mother was also born in Scotland and near Glasgow. And I don't know if you know, there's a Hamilton, Scotland. And that's where she was from.
I never knew that.
Yeah. And as you mentioned the other day at the TCA, very hard Scrabble life. My mom and her brother and sister and her mom came over. She was maybe 9 or 10.
Yeah.
And, didn't talk about it a lot, as you mentioned on season two of The Reluctant Traveler, which returns March 8th on Apple TV Plus. Great, great show, great series.
Oh, that's great. Congratulations. Thanks, Bill. Thank you. Wouldn't it have been something if my mom had been born in Hamilton, Scotland, and then moved to Hamilton, Ontario, Canada?
Right.
Yeah.
Quite a coincidence.
Wow.
Yeah, I love that you threw yourself into that episode a little more, perhaps, than others. There you are, fly fishing, and doing pretty good.
Mm. Yeah. Still not crazy about it. I didn't catch anything. Kind of had it down, and, you know, after a while, you know, you kind of think, what am I still doing here in the river? But nevertheless, I was out there doing it, and you know, beautiful country. I mean, it was a beautiful part of the country.
It is very pretty. Have you ever seen the movie Local Hero?
Yes, years ago.
Yeah, Bill Forsyth, Scottish filmmaker. There's something very charming about the people and the countryside, isn't it? Isn't there?
Yes, absolutely. And they all have a very, very, very dry sense of humor. And, you know, I grew up with that, with my mom's side of the family. My uncles and aunts all had a pretty good sense of humor, my uncles, you know, particularly. And when I got to Scotland, when I was in Scotland, it kind of, that kind of echoed around the memories of my uncles and aunts and my mom were kind of rolling around my head. Because it was the same sensibility. It was the same kind of sense of humor.
It's kind of a sneaky sense of humor. They like to get a little jab in now and then, right?
Yeah. Well, I had a great time with another Bill who actually was making my kilt. And this guy was really funny. He made me laugh. And yeah, he would... It's like his kind of humor kind of came up from behind and bit you in the back of the neck in a way.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fun. The kilt, you look great in a kilt. That was a beautiful tartan. And I understand it was very specific. It's, it has roots. It's a Jewish tartan, right?
Yes, it was a Jewish tartan. I had no idea there was such a thing. I know that, you know, kind of families seem to have their own tartans that go back hundreds of years. I actually didn't know there was a Jewish tartan, but there is. And maybe it's that kind of streak of blue that runs through the, you know, through the
right
tartan, that kind of distinguishes that from any other tartan. But I have it. I have it with me at home. Not that I put it on since.
Well, I was gonna ask you, Gene. Did you have to model it when you got home?
No, I did not have to model it. No, when I got home, these legs are not for showing necessarily. So I try to keep them covered as much as I can. But
well, I was surprised that you kept your legs when you were testing that pure scotch from those big drams. That was potent stuff, right?
Wow. Well, I've never been a scotch drinker, but the I learned that really good scotch is a very palatable drink. Mm. Like, it tasted really good. Tasting the scotch that hasn't seen a cask yet was like drinking gasoline. Even gasoline would taste much better than this did. So, you know, God bless the casks, because they really do a number on that stuff.
Yeah, it's incredible. So I guess you could truly say that you're half scotch and half water, I guess. Isn't that the joke?
yeah.
There you go. You know, what's the Scottish toast? Long may your lung reek and the smoke go up your chimney, I think is
That's something Bill the kilt maker would have said, and I think he did.
Back in a minute with the reluctant traveler himself, Eugene Levy. What's new this month on Super Channel? Well, if you're looking for the next big frothy family drama, check out Prosper, an Aussie-Brit hour-long serial premiering March 24th on Super Channel Fuse. Prosper follows the Quinns, the founding family behind one of the fastest-growing megachurches in the world, U-Star, based in Sydney, Australia. Poised on the precipice of a lucrative American expansion, the family, hell-bent on global domination, or domination, both work, right? Is about to catapult into a whole new stratosphere of wealth and unchecked power. But behind closed doors, the Quinns are a family protecting shameful secrets, all while preaching a message of faith, love, and acceptance for the many thousands of followers. This is a study of a damaged family inextricably bound together while tearing themselves apart. And remember, Super Channel, an all-Canadian service, is available via most cable providers across the country, as well as streaming live and on-demand with Amazon Prime Video channels and Apple TV+. You can also check out the new streaming channel Super Channel Plus, available now on the Roku platform in Canada. Well, did you know that it was June Carter Cash who wrote one of Johnny Cash's biggest hits, Ring of Fire? That's just one of the things you'll learn watching June, streaming this month on Paramount+. June shines a spotlight on the history of country music and the Carter and Cash families. The five-time Grammy Award-winning singer, actor, and author has opened for Elvis, appeared on screen with Robert Duvall and Jane Seymour, and as mentioned, was a damn fine songwriter. Featuring interviews with the woman herself, the film also includes sit-downs with her family, admirers, and friends, including Dolly Parton, Reese Witherspoon, and Willie Nelson. And remember, there's a mountain of premium entertainment for audiences of all ages on Paramount+. Here he is again, Mr. Eugene Levy. Now, the first episode, when this show returns March 8th on Apple TV+, is you're in Sweden, and you're basically attacked by 47 different varieties of mosquitoes, correct?
Yeah. Sweden was kind of a, we're up near the Arctic Circle, and it was kind of an odd little village that we were in. Lovely people, but... boy, you don't want to be up there when we were up there in the summer because the mosquitoes are bad. Like, they're just bad. So that kind of made things, difficult, made them kind of more unpleasant than they could have been. But, you know, I just persevered. I'm that kind of guy. I just persevere
and good for you.
try and get the job done. It's but amazing. Mosquitoes and moose calling. You want to talk about new experiences?
So there were worse mosquitoes than in Muskoka, is what you're saying?
I think. Well, they're bad in Muskoka, too. If you're going up there in May, let's say.
That's
but
right.
It was pretty close, you know? And you just couldn't get away from them.
Another episode, you're in France, and waiting for you at a table is Joan Collins. Had you ever met Joan Collins before?
No, never met Joan Collins before. She has a place. She has a place in Saint-Tropez. And she's been there for years and years and years, and she knew, she knows everything about the town. She's the one who said there are other parts of Saint-Tropez that you should explore,
Yeah.
As much as she's been a part of the glamour side of Saint-Tropez, there was a lot about it she just didn't really care for, because she said it's not truly the Saint-Tropez that she grew up knowing.
Well, there you go. A couple of quick questions, Gene. I know your time is precious. Your son Dan must be, he's much less of a reluctant traveler. Might we ever see an episode where he joins you on one of these trips?
Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah.
He has, he does love traveling. He's much younger. So he has the energy, and he unlike me, he's an extremely curious person and loves to experience everything that a city and a country has to offer. So it would be kind of an education for me to actually travel with Daniel.
I think it'd be a great show to watch. It'd be a great episode. Now, Eugene, if there was ever an SCTV parody of The Reluctant Traveler, how would it go and who would play you?
Well, I think it would be hysterical, and it would be hysterical because I think I'd want John Candy to play me, because John did an impeccable impersonation of me ordering food in a restaurant, and you know, I think getting that look down to where he could look as close to me as he possibly could, that's one scene I would just I'd kill to see.
Well, wouldn't we all? That would be awesome. Listen, I'm getting messages from the good folks at Apple TV Plus. Remember, again, March 8th, the series returns. Congratulations as well, Eugene, on becoming inducted in the Canadian Comedy Hall of Fame. That ceremony is coming up in Hamilton in a few weeks. So,
yeah, that's
great,
true.
Great month for you.
No, that was really something. That's like it doesn't get much better than that. That's for sure.
That's great. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thanks, Bill.
Back in a moment with Eugene.
Again with sweet Emily Gagne from Hollywood Suite. Emily, do you like your new nickname?
I love it, Bill.
All right. What do you got for us this month on Hollywood Suite?
Well, we've got some sweet offerings for you.
Nice.
Yeah, I had to. I particularly like the Women in Film collection that we have. It's Women's History Month, so we always like to celebrate with some historic achievements by women in film. So we've got films like Private Benjamin, which was written by Nancy Myers. We've got Ishtar, which I've mentioned before on this ad space.
Yeah.
We've got Cemetery. We have some Barbara Streisand directed content. The Mirror Has Two Faces. The Holiday. You name it, we've probably got it this month for Women in Film.
Very good. And you've got an exciting new documentary too, I hear.
Yes, it's called Nuked. And if you love Oppenheimer and learning more about the bomb and how it was made, now you can watch this film, which talks about the indigenous populations that were affected by the aftermath of the bomb. So it's a really good complement to the award season, front runner.
Well, I don't want to tell Hollywood Suite what to program here, but you should pair that with Dr. Strangelove and perhaps Blow Up, just because of the title, right?
Yes. There's lots of options for the whole picture.
All right. There you got it. That's what you're seeing this month. Lots of great films by women directors and stars on Hollywood Suite. Emily, always a pleasure.
Thank you, Bill.
Back again with Eugene Levy, and this time at the Grand Ballroom of the Langham Huntington Resort Hotel in Pasadena, California. That's where Levy and executive producer David Brindley took questions from myself and other reporters from across Canada and the U.S. This audio is kindly provided by one of my great press tour friends, Howard Benjamin. His company, The Interview Factory, located in Van Nuys, California, boasts a vast digital audio and video archive covering film, television, and music personalities. The Interview Factory has been covering it all for 40 years, and the library consists of more than 85,000 interviews. So, thank you again, Howard, and let's sit in on more with the great Eugene Levy.
Each episode does end with you kind of making tiny baby steps towards comfort, and I would say that the first season, there's some personal journey that you've gone through. How many seasons of this show do you think it's going to take before they need to rename it The Somewhat Agreeable Traveler?
Well, that's actually a good question, and don't think I haven't thought about it myself. I'm loving the show for what it's actually doing for me. I mean, I think generally speaking, the travel aspect of this is making me a kind of a more enlightened person and possibly a more interesting person, where you can name drop a country and say, oh, yeah, yeah, I've been there. Yeah, yeah, it's okay. It's good. I like the people. I like the thing. Instead of saying, no, never been there. And, yeah, I don't know. I've never really thought about going. And I, nah, don't think I would go. Don't think I would go. I really love my interaction with the people. That again, I said this last year, which is the one thing that stood out for me. It's the people I'm interacting with that are really making these trips memorable for me. You know, I mean, I appreciate, you know. You know, a building that was, you know, been standing since the 14th century, you know, but a building's a building. And, you know, I mean, that's kind of like, you know, you've kind of seen it, but it's the people, it's kind of learning about the country, learning about the culture through the people that I'm actually meeting. And I'm finding I'm having a great deal of fun, you know, doing that. But if you were to ask me, in your dream, what country in the world are you just dying to get to? I'd say I don't have an answer for that, because there isn't one place I'm dying to get to. So that in itself tells me I'm not there yet. You know, I'm not there yet. It's just that it's that general kind of sense of curiosity and adventure that hasn't quite kicked in. Although I'm kind of loving the experience of doing what I'm doing through the show.
Mr. McLevy over here on the right. I love the Scotland episode. It was fantastic, but I know you've talked a lot about it now, but was there a connection you felt, you know, the Scots are known for a dry sense of humor, you know, sometimes very droll. Did you find any connection to comedy? You know, you were very animated, you're dancing, you really seem to connect with these people, but did you feel anything that you didn't realize was maybe a connection to your career from your Scottish heritage?
Well, the droll, dry sense of humor I definitely felt there. What was the chap's name who made the kilt?
Bill.
No wonder I couldn't remember. He was a riot, and he was very, very dry. And I found mostly the people that were working at Candacraig, which is the hotel we were staying at, all had that kind of dry sense of humor. The valet,
Robert.
Yeah. Yeah. Also had a very dry sense of humor. So I think looking at my mom's side of the family, all that kind of came through because, you know, my mom and her brothers and sisters all had a very dry, and now I get what it was, very, very Scottish kind of sense of humor.
Thanks as always to Phil Hong for producing these podcasts in a manner that would have made even SCTV's Jerry Todd envious. Thanks to Apple TV Plus for setting up the interview with Eugene Levy. Thanks to my good buddy BJ Del Conte, Paul Boudreau, and the Crispy Critters, as well as piano man Stephen Dudley, my old pal from high school, for the music heard on this episode. And finally, thanks to you, listener. If you liked what you heard, please spread the word. I'm Bill Brio. Thanks for listening.